All right. Good morning, everybody. Talking about enemy mine. I think possibly there was a little bit of confusion. So I just want to just say enemy mine is my will. I think in a nutshell. I think Chris put it just awesomely. Because he just was really clear with it. Chris, I just read his first sentence from his assignment. He says, "My will. There was no learning or growing into it. You know, we didn't have to figure out how to have our own will. It didn't just like one day, you know, we went to school and they said, now let us teach you about how to have a will. No, I was simply born with it," he says. "As a small child, it was raw and unfiltered." And just a couple of scriptures really stick out to me in light of my will. And first one, which is one, is we have a sin nature. We're born with a sin nature. We don't have, it's not like we learn how to be sinners. We didn't have to practice it. You know, if you watch a little kid, they don't have to practice being sinners. It just somehow they just are good at it. And then we somehow even get better at, well, I think what we get better at is we get better at deceiving ourselves and trying to deceive others that we're not really, that don't really have a sin nature that's just there. And David puts it pretty darn clear when he says he was conceived in sin. He says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity," or "brought forth in sin. And in sin did my mother conceive me." See that sin nature, it just gets passed right on. And our free will is something God gave us. So free will is a gift, but mixed with the sin nature, free will can get pretty wild. And then, Paul does a really good job in Romans 7:18, and I'll just read it from the NIV because I think it puts it pretty well. Paul says this, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature." So we got that, and then we have free will, and you put the two together, and you got quite a stew going there. So that's where everything, and then in Colossians, he talks about getting conformed to the image of his son, getting conformed to the image of Christ. And so it's a press. I don't know how to say it other than like it's kind of, to me, it goes back to the potter's wheel. You know, he's got to make a new lump of clay, and then getting to understand. Always getting pressed in and pressed in and pressed in, so that we can get rid of. I don't know that we get rid of our will because it's always there and it's a gift. Like I said, free will is a gift, but it's learning, not my will, as Christ said, not my will, thy will be done. And it's daily going into our lives, not my will, thy will be done today, Lord. You know, because I saw last night in line finally getting on the airplane, I saw my will getting forced. It's just funny, you know, and trying to, anyway, it's just, you know, you just see it. It just, because we are who we are, but that doesn't mean we have to live as in that same way. So we can just relax. In some ways, it's like we got to relax, let go. And it's, Lord, your will. Show it to me. Show it to me today. Anyway, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, and we do need to come and to go, boy, Lord, we just see that sinful nature just rears its head constantly. And then we mix in our opportunistic people we are with our free will, and we can make some crazy choices. And a lot of times our crazy choices are all in the name of good. We'll search for a scripture that conforms us to our will rather than allowing ourselves to be conformed to your will. I think as Patrick even said it last week, it's the idea of not praying, Lord, you need to see it my way, but praying that we would see things your way every day. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for this chapter coming. God is a verb. Truly, Lord, you are the God of action and making things happen. And we just pray that as we get that as we move forward with you, that we would constantly being conformed to your ways and to your excellence. We thank you for this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. That was a great line at the end. Yeah. Without God, there's no gardener. Isn't that what he says in John? He tells us that. You know, he says he goes in and he prunes. And, you know, when you prune, when you prune a plant, any plant, but it almost looks like you've killed it sometimes. You're like, oh my gosh, what have I done to this thing? And then a few months later, it comes back and it's more robust than ever. So, you know, pruning, I think, can hurts for a minute. And, you know, I think we've all experienced pruning of to one sort or another in our lives and different times and different seasons, because there's seasons. You know, there's a season for pruning. And we have, you know, life ebbs and flows and has its seasons. And so, you know, when the pruning comes, it, yeah, it doesn't feel good. It definitely hurts a little, and, you know, but the growth can be really robust if we're willing to accept the pruning. And isn't that God as a verb? He's working always, always, always working. And so we can trust him during those times. We can trust in him during those times, because it doesn't feel good, but he's working. That means he is doing something. It means you're alive, and you're alive in him. Because you can follow, you know, you can get to chapter, as Patrick says, you know, you can get through up to this point, you know, you can, by just following principles. And a lot of people live a quote unquote good life. And I've never quite figured out what that means, but people can live a good life following principles. You know, you can have a good life, as the world likes to say, if you just simply kind of follow the Ten Commandments as a guide to your life. Somehow things will work well following, you know, God's principles. But that's not God as a verb. That's just your concept. And then you kind of tend to start picking and choosing out of the 10, which ones are really important. And, well, maybe which ones you can slide on a little bit, rather than just belonging to Christ, which is the point here, is that, and then let him do his work. Let's pray as we get into the day. We had a good morning this morning. More Lord, we thank you for just what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing. Each and every one of us, Lord, you saved us. It says right in your sheet, you say the one who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Wow, you know, that's a lot to think about, just to take in. Some scriptures, just a few words, say so much. And Lord, they're hard, as we even just know ourselves, to really come to full grasp of them, because we know our shortcomings and we see them, but our shortcomings are also our opportunity to walk around them and to just continue to pursue you, to be those who love your word, who love you, and really want to see and know your will every day. As we go out today, you know, we know your will, and simply, sometimes it's as simple as taking care of the people, places, and things that are before us, from our customers to employees to our families. So we just thank you for the opportunity to love you, to serve you, and to walk with you. Give you this day now, and we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen.